this is the first evening service we've had for the new year, from what I can think of. We had an evening service last week. Oh, we did, yes. Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was here, yeah. Just about. And we're in the evening, we're going through the subjects of relationships, and we're going through different types of relationships. There's family, which we started at the beginning, as in our close family, relatives. We looked at friends, and we looked or spent time on how Jesus Christ is really the ultimate friend. All the things that he does for us, how he protects us, how he's honest with us. Basically absolutely everything that we want to a friend as well, that we can find in Jesus Christ. But tonight we're going to look at, well, relationships in the workplace and how we should really behave in a workplace more than anything else. If we go to Proverbs though. Proverbs 18 and verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And through every stage or every type of relationship or friend that we have, really this verse should stick close to that, whether in home, in work, or in school, or anywhere else at all. And it's important that we have that concept that to be friendly, to have a relationship, we need to be approachable, we need to be willing to speak to people, to do things with people. But before we start properly, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you for tonight, Lord, and we ask that as we open up your word, we'd seek you, Father God. Lord, we're involved in relationships in all our life, Father God, whether it's people just on the phone, in the shops, with friends, with family. But Father God, you need to be glorified through those. Lord, we need to be reflecting your love, but also, Lord, our new nature as well. And Father God, as we take these different categories, Lord, we ask, Lord, that we'd just seek you, Father God, and we would glorify you with our relationships. Lord, help us, Lord, if we're failing or if we're doing things wrong, but also, Father God, remind us, Lord, that you're always forgiving and you're always willing to change us, Father. And again, just thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you all heard the saying, a dog is not just for Christmas?
Puppies.
Sorry?
Puppies.
Puppy's not just for Christmas, it's for... What?
Life.
You were right.
Was I right? Okay. Okay. Okay, anyway, a Christian isn't just for Sunday, a Christian is for life. And no matter where we are in our week, whether Monday, Sunday, Friday, whatever day, we are a Christian. We're not just called to go to church, but also we're called to live a life that reflects Jesus. And that includes the workplace. And I'm sort of clubbing together work and college at the same thing, because you tend to have similar colleague type people at college, although they're your friends. And work is interesting. The first ever country to establish an 8-hour working day was in Australia in 1856. That was the first time there was a set format for work. Today, shifts are all over the place. How many hours do you work a day, Chris, would you say?
Yeah.
It varies.
You can work
12,
you can work
5. All sorts of things. I think you've been on more than 12-hour shifts, haven't you? And you know, we can, you know, everything's changed from that 1856 up now to today, because there's night shifts, there's day shifts, there's twilight shifts, there's all sorts of things. And I enjoy working, and I've always got to have something to do. I don't like to do nothing, and I need to be proactive in a sense of what I need to do. So far, I've had 9 jobs in my life, and that's either cleaning toilets, to handing out medication, to cleaning or stacking shelves, to taking pictures. And I've enjoyed the varied amount of jobs I've had. Because I've got more experience. But only 2 of those jobs, I wasn't a Christian. The first one, I worked in a market stall with my uncle, and the second one, I worked in like a workshop type thing as a French polisher. So I was like taking off all the paint off wood and things like that. But the majority of our lives are spent with work colleagues. The average working day is 8 hours. Would you agree with me on that? And you work 5 days a week. So that's 40 hours a week you are in work. But that's a lot of time not spent with your family, with your friends, because it's the bulk of the day that happens, where all the work goes on. But like I said, some shifts end up being 12 hours or 16 hours, and with only 24 hours in the day, it doesn't leave a lot left to spend with friends and family. So the people that we work with should be important to us, And unfortunately, we can't choose who we work with. You know, we're told to work with this person or these type of people or anything like that. And, you know, we're stuck in a lump with what we work with or who we work with. Now, I do believe in providence, in that when God gives you a job, it's something that he will give you for a specific reason, for the people around you. I've got no scriptures to line up with that, but if I did spend some time, I think I could prove scripturally how God does give you things specifically. If you don't agree with me, that's fine, but don't treat me as a heretic on that. But we are around people, and God places us around people all the time. And as Christians, we are quite public people. We are quite public beings, because we're always talking about Christ, or we should be talking about Christ. We should always be reflecting Christ in our actions. Most of all, we're public because people look at us, and they look at us and stare at us sometimes and try and compare us with what their ideal of a Christian should be. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." That first part there, we are his workmanship. We are created like he's a carpenter or the potter to look like something, to be specific, to be like a representative of something. And our relations at work, we should be representing God to them. But the thing is, relationships can vary. And with work, there's always a hierarchy. There's always the worker, the supervisor, the line manager, and all those sorts of things that go up in the chain. The last job I was in was the only job where I was in a position where I was over anybody else, and it was a couple of people. And it was a weird setting, because all of a sudden they're coming to me for advice, they're coming to me for help, and I need to be careful how I give that and what advice I give them. But the thing is, I'm more likely to be more of a buddy friend to someone who's on my level than someone who is above me, simply because of just simply respect. You know, they pay my wages, or they influence where I am in work with wages and things like that, so I always want to be on the good side. But at work, you need to respect authority. Although they just sit on the toilet just like we do, they're the same person, they do the same things. It's just, they are a person of authority. You need to respect them. They have experience, they have knowledge, and they're a supervisor or something like that for a reason, not because of our choice. But there are some supervisors or bosses that are okay with playing around, with joking around and things like that, and that's okay. But still, we always need to recognise their position of authority. There's a quote I like from Oswald Chambers. He says, "I have to learn to relate everything to the master ambition, and to maintain it without any ceasing. My worth to God in public is what I am in private. Is my master ambition to please him and be accepted to him, or is it something less, no matter how noble?" And the bit in the middle I specifically like. My worth to God in public is what I am in private. And like I said, as Christians in the workplace, we're quite public people, because with people looking at us, they'll ask us questions. And sometimes if you're on your own and there's people asking you questions about God, you really rely on God and, you know, "God, give me the answers, or give me the help, or let me reflect you in this situation." But the thing is, our life in private is reflected in public, and our relationship with him. But what does the Bible say about work? Well, work is a godly thing. It's a biblical thing. It started back in the Garden of Eden. Adam had to till the ground, he had to name the animals, and there's a sense of being below a higher authority and doing something for them, being instructed to do a task. But the thing is, he didn't have to work to survive at all. He still had to work, so really we should have to work too. But until the fall came, he had to work to survive from that. Look at Genesis 3, verse 17. Genesis 3 and verse 17. "And he said," and "unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it in all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. It wasn't until the fall that work was used to make them survive. They had to work for their food to be provided for. And since then, work became hard. But like I said, work started before the fall. God wanted people to work, not just to keep them occupied or busy or anything like that, but just to, I'm not too sure why, but it was to show that you could be a servant to God no matter what. Thank you, Chris. Sorry, Chris is... Yep. And there's something unique about work as well. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5. It says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it." And with anything spiritual, with anything to do with church, really, we can always rely on the strength of God in order for it to be done. For example, if you're witnessing to someone, you can rely on God because he calls you to witness to someone, and it says that he will also do it. So you rely on his strength, on his words and his wisdom. But with work, it's something different. It's something unique. I'm trying to think. Catherine, you work as a doctor's secretary, don't you? Do you have to rely on God's strength to type anything out? At all? You do? Okay. No, to literally lift up your hand and to press a button. Some mornings, okay, fair enough. Okay. Do you have to wait for God to give you instructions on what to do that day? No. Vicky, you work with kids. Where do you get your instructions from? Hopefully God helps. Okay. The idea I'm trying to give is that with our work, it's totally reliant on our strength, although we do get strength from God. But the thing is, we can do whatever we like in our workplace. We get a task to do from our boss and things like that, and it doesn't come from God because it's something that we have to do. When Adam had to till the ground, it wasn't God, you know, pushing it behind him. Adam had to do it himself. He had to do manual labour. And work is like that. It's something that's quite separate from God because it's totally dependent on who we are and ourselves. But like I said, whether it's witnessing or preaching or anything with a spiritual aspect where we do need strength like that, we can rely on God and he will do it. But with work, our attitude is important. We looked at a proverb for teens a couple of weeks back, and it's I can't remember the exact reference, but it says, "Whatever man thinketh, so is he inside," or whatever he thinks he is. And if he thinks lazily, then he's going to be a lazy person. If he thinks quite proactive, he's going to be quite a proactive person. Anybody heard of a super lazy person? A super lazy. Do you know the definition of super lazy? Yeah, couch potato, but you wear a cape because you're super lazy. Never mind. Okay. Sorry? Yes. Never mind. That dropped down. But in the workplace, you can see many different kinds of attitudes, many different kinds of personalities, habits, desires, experiences, and expectations, because they're people, and everyone is different. And the problem is some all converge into one lump, or some can also conflict. There are areas where people go to specifically gossip. There are areas where people go to specifically skive off work. You know, you look around and you see people doing all these different things. They're making their work unique to themselves. But the thing is, as a Christian, it means that we do need to rub against the grain of what other co-workers are doing, because we need to be doing things right and proper and have integrity. But the thing is, as a Christian, we can start to struggle with our identity, with our values, with our attitudes and feelings, and also it produces us stress and makes us tired. For example, there's going to be more pressure in work if you're a Christian and they're doing things and you're encouraged to do those things. And it's hard to struggle with. I worked in a care home, and my approach to people was a lot different to those who were not a Christian. Although there was like a set manual of standard how you treat the patients and things like that, there's obviously a difference in how we do that. And also bosses have different expectations as well, and they expect you to do things that you shouldn't really have to do or need to do. But even if you work with a Christian boss, a Christian boss, there's still going to be the same stresses and a majority of the same problems there too. Not because the Christian boss isn't going to be a Christian, but there's just conflict there because there's a different personality. But work is necessary. Work is necessary to have a life, to function, to pay bills, to have leisure, to come to church, to give. And work really has the potential of so much more as well. When I say that, really, it's to glorify God. And we are unique people, and we all have our skills, our niches and things like that. How many of you are in your ideal job, would you say? Got one, two, go Fran, three-ish sort of thing. You know, those of you who are undecided or not sure, you know, you want to get a job that you know you'll be good at, that you know you can do and know you can make, you know, make it better or improve yourself at it. But unfortunately, sometimes we can't do that. When I wanted to be a graphic designer, I had to work in Sainsbury's instead. You know, just scanning things wasn't exactly doing anything creative. But the thing is, like I said, I believe God puts us in places so we can learn and take things on board. But at the same time, we're not really tools or just machines either, because we are unique human beings that do things. I've worked in factories, and there are people there who just clock in right on time and clock out right on time as well. They treat themselves as a machine and then go home. And sometimes it's quite nice because they go home and look forward to being with their family. That work is separate to that, and that's a good thing. They understand there's something better waiting for them when they get home. Although that is what work requires sometimes, that we do need to put some effort into things. So how can we get along with co-workers and bosses and even our God when we're at work? Well, the word work, job and vocation come all from the same word. And in Latin, the verb is to call. Now, many people think to have a calling is a spiritual thing, but it's not. It just means to have a vocation. It's we all need a vocation. We all need something to do. And it's the same as ministering. So what is God's call for the employee, for the people who work? Look at Ephesians 6, verse 5. Ephesians 6, verse 5, it says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service, as to the Lord, and not to men." Now, I've had some people come to me and says, "I can't use this scripture because it doesn't apply." Because the word scripture there, or the word servant there, means doulos. Does everybody know what doulos means? Sorry? Means, did you say it? That's right, it means a slave. And how many of you are slaves in reality to this society? None of you are slaves. And many people say, we can't use this verse because we're not slaves. But the thing is, the principle is still there. We are still servants under human authority. It says there, we're supposed to be obedient to our masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. Now, it doesn't mean we have to go and be scared of our bosses. But I've been scared of my bosses before because of who they are and how they react all the time. But it says there, in the singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. So we're supposed to treat our bosses like we treat Christ. And I got thinking about this. Sometimes the way I treat Jesus isn't the best way. Sometimes I try to ignore him. I step away from him because I'm a sinful person. And if I ever treat my boss like Jesus Christ sometimes, I would get fired straight away. But at the same time, if I treat my boss like I should treat Jesus, like I should treat Jesus Christ, then he's going to think I'm weird at the same time. But the thing is, you know, sometimes I don't treat Jesus the way I should, and I certainly don't, and I sometimes treat my boss better than I treat Jesus. That was a long way around saying that, sorry. But look at verse 6. "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart." We're not supposed to look like we're enjoying the work, like we're supposed to look like we are making hard work either. We're supposed to do it because we want to do it, no matter what. Turn to Romans 8, verse 17. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We may not want to be like treating our bosses like Jesus Christ. I don't mean as a God, but I mean in respect, in being willing to do whatever they want. But the thing is, sometimes we tend to think, you know, we deserve better. But if there are bosses, there are bosses. But this is a reminder here in verse 17. And if the children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We tend to forget of what's going to happen at the end, at the big picture, that we are heirs of Jesus Christ. Now say the Queen's on the throne at the moment. When she passes away, who's going to be next in line? It's going to be Charlie, isn't it? Prince Charles. And then next it'll be Prince William. Now the thing is, they're going to inherit a lot of things as they go along. And if I'm right, the Queen owns the land of the UK, doesn't she? She's the main owner of the UK. So that means when she dies and Charles comes along, then he owns the land and it passes down. And it's the same with our relationship with God. Now, Jesus Christ isn't going to die again and we're going to inherit something, but we just inherit everything that Jesus Christ owns. And, you know, he's the creator of the universe, not just a little owner of an island somewhere on the earth. He created everything. And when we are glorified, and it says there in the last verse, that we may be glorified together, we are going to co-own the universe with him. Now, whether this universe would exist as it is, I'm not sure. I don't think so. I think it'd be something bigger and far greater. But the thing is, we tend to forget what we have or what we're going to have while we're working on this earth. Look at 1 Corinthians 7, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 23. You are bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of men. Verse 24, brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. If we're a Christian and we're a Christian at work, we need to remember that we belong to God no matter what. Our bosses do not own us. Although they control our wage, they do have some control over our life. But ultimately, it's God who has control over us because we are owned by him. But as Christians, we're also supposed to be diligent. We're supposed to be careful and be wise in our work. Look at Proverbs 10, verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. And this is a wise proverb. If we be lazy or super lazy, then we're not going to be rich. We become poor if we have a slack hand. And then it says, the hand of the diligent maketh rich. You know, although the bosses may not see the things that we do at work diligently, God sees it and he knows that and he will honour us with that and respect us. And eventually the better work life should come along. But that is not a promise, it's just a blessing on that. Look at Ecclesiastes 5:12. The sleep of a labouring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. You know, sleep is nice. You know, I like to sleep, especially after hard work. But it says there, the sleep of a labouring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Sometimes the rich want or greedy, and we mustn't get too greedy with our other blessings we have with our job. Look at Colossians 3, verse 17. Colossians 3 and verse 17. And it says, and whatsoever ye do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We're supposed to do everything in his name, whether we arrest someone or whether we help a child out or we fix a computer or anything like that. We're supposed to do it as if God is our boss and we're doing it for him. And this idea is emphasized again. Look at verse 23. 22 and 23. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in the singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. So even though we serve God in church, and we really work hard for that, We're supposed to work just as hard on the outside as well, because God is the God of the outside as well as the God inside this church. We're supposed to do things for him and to his standards. So what if you're above someone or going to be above someone? What does the Bible say about treating the people underneath you equally and fairly? Well, first of all, God honours diligence and fairness. If there's someone below you, then he's given you that responsibility. Go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 9. Ephesians 6 and verse 9. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of person with him. And sometimes I felt so angry at my boss at work at Whedon's, I wanted to go to his office with this Bible and show him this verse and say, you better be careful because you are going to be judged as well. You know, just as a threat, but I don't think it would work. But as a master, as someone above someone, it says, do the same things unto them. So you need to be, you need to do what verse 5, 6, 7, and 8 says. But also do it without threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Doesn't mean to say, I am the boss, I'm going to treat you badly. It means I'm in charge, I'm going to tell you what to do, and just basically just have a working relationship rather than a corrosive relationship. God wants fairness, and we need to be fair. God's hate the exploitation of people, and he's going to judge those people who exploit other people. I've got a list of verses here, we'll go through just a couple. Leviticus 19 and verse 13. Leviticus 19 and verse 13. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbour, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. And the Bible is quite clear when it deals about dealing with people. It says if you get someone to work with you, then don't keep the wages until the next morning. Give that wages to that person that day because they might need it. But look at Proverbs 27:18. Proverbs 27 and verse 18. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat of the fruit thereof, so he that waiteth on his master shall be honoured. It's again trying to be fair. Don't eat everything. Say you have a fig tree and it grows. Don't eat everything off it. Share it with other people. Be considerate with other people. And lastly, look at Luke 10 verse 7. Luke 10 and verse 7. And in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labourer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. But the main section there, a labourer is worthy of his hire. Whatever a person does, whether it's good or bad, they deserve a wage no matter what. They need to be treated fairly. But the thing is, expectations of employees who aren't Christian do not line up with God's expectations. For example, they expect everyone to work or be available on a Sunday. And I understand if people need to work on a Sunday. I've had to do that, even here at Kingsmead. But they don't understand that church is a priority, that Jesus Christ is a priority. They may ask you to do immoral things like lie. I've been expected to lie to customers and to other bosses about things. And I simply can't do that. Because the moment I lie, the moment I go against what God tells me to do, I lose my integrity. And they may think I'm doing them a favour, but later on in the line, they're not going to trust me because they know that I would be willing to lie. When I was in Jessop's, I was asked to lie to a customer, but the thing is, it was a challenge because I could tell the customer the truth that the camera wasn't ready for repair, and then my boss would look like an idiot. And I can't make my boss look like an idiot because I'm not treating him like Christ. And that's where the challenge comes in. That's where your thinking comes in as a Christian. I can't remember how I got around it, but I said, I think I delayed just the process or wherever it was. But the thing is, it can be challenging, it can be stressful and worrying when you face those situations. It's important that we have our relationship with Christ, because he will be able to help us in those moments. Look at Acts chapter 5, verse 25. Acts 5, verse 25. This is a situation where Peter, they were preaching and they were told not to. Verse 25. Oop. In the right place. Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council and the high priest, and asked them, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in his name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intended to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And that should be one of the biggest principles in your workplace. You can obey your boss, but the thing is, when it comes to disregarding God or anything like that, you must obey God rather than men. And it may cost you your job. It may cost you to be taken the mick out of. But the thing is, it's always important to obey God in the end. If you were a boss, what would you want in someone to work for you? Would you want them to have integrity? Would you want them to be honest? Would you want them to be hardworking with a name that's passed, in a sense, the aim of the company? You know, Roger runs his business quite well with being a Christian one. And what's the slogan? I forgot what it is. 22:21. Okay, and what's the aim high thing that you're going to do? Oh, okay, so go back. Okay, I won't use that as an illustration, but they've got a very good sense. Yeah.
My people perish. My people lack wisdom, so they perish.
Okay, but without an aim, without a better thing, really, we're just ants doing a system. But the thing is, employers want people with an aim, and we get those aims from God. But what about witnessing? The ultimate aim to have a relationship is to share Christ. We were created to speak, to integrate with people, and to relate to people. And we must also be witnessing. But I've been asked questions in the past. If I'm witnessing during work, then aren't I stealing time away? So say Catherine's in her office and she decides to stop writing the letters or anything like that and talks to her friend about Christ. Now, in our eyes, it's a good thing because she's talking about Christ. But the thing is, in a boss's eyes, she's not working. She's just talking. This is when our integrity as a person, when our actions and our type of speech is important, because that makes up for that time of witnessing, in a sense. We are told to preach, we are told to teach and make disciples, but the thing is that nothing should ever stop that going along. It shouldn't cost our boss anything, but the thing is, we underestimate our testimonies, we underestimate our attitudes. And also, we underestimate us being a new person or new creature in Jesus Christ, because we tend to think we have to put on a show to be a Christian, whereas really we don't. We also underestimate Romans 5:5 when it says, "The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts." And I always use that verse because it means so much to me, but we underestimate what God has done in our life to be an effect to other people. The gospel isn't limited by our mouths or our actions, our mouths, but we can also use actions. We still need to proclaim and confess with our mouth. But the thing is, at work, we have actions, we have integrity, and we have attitudes that influence people as well. Some people say that work is a mission field, and that's true, because you see the same people every single day, you're involved in them every single day. And our relationship shouldn't really be 9 till 5, but they should be based on who they are and their souls, not just simply a clocking in machine or a wage. But lastly, work isn't everything either. Yes, we could do with working, but there are important things in life like family, friends, those who need you and those who you need. Work should never get in the way of a relationship with family, and work should never get in the way of a relationship with God either. But also, work should never become an idol. And sometimes that's where I've fallen, where I've allowed my work to become an idol. Where I'd like to go to work and do whatever I can. But the thing is, when it comes to God, you know, I'm too tired for God. I'm too fed up for God. God can wait. And that should never happen. We should care about our job and what we put into it, but also we should care more about what God has for us in that job. Like those verses say there, we should treat our bosses, our employers or employees, like Christ and as a servant. We should treat them fairly with integrity. And I hope you in your jobs that you can do that you can use that as well. But remember, it's all about relationships. It's all about sharing Him and being there for Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I'm thankful, Lord, again, for this opportunity to preach. And Father God, as we go through these relationship topics, Father God, we ask that you give us wisdom, Lord, in the areas, Lord, that we need it. And that, Father God, all the bosses, Lord, that we've had in the past, Lord, or the bosses we're going to have, Father God, that you prepare our hearts, Lord, to be a servant to them. And that, Father God, no matter what personality they have, what attitude they have, Lord, that we can keep our Christ-like attitude. That, Lord, that we can reflect you, Lord, and to change them. Not just for salvation, Lord, not just to make us have an easy life, but most of all, Lord, to change them, Lord, to come to know you. Father God, for all the people, Lord, in our church, Lord, who don't have jobs, Father God, Lord, just to continue to pray, Lord, that you'd bring the right job for them, that it'll be enough to provide, Father God, and enough to glorify you, Lord, in everything that involves with, whether it's having the right attitude at work, forgiving, but Father God, also, Lord, just being a servant for you as well. Lord, I'm thankful for the jobs I have, Lord, and also the ability, Lord, to be a pastor. But Father God, may I honour you, Father God, Lord, as we minister to other people and as I minister to other people too. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. I was going to say, the next topic is going to be dating and relationships like marriage and things like that. But we haven't got an evening service for 2 more weeks because we've got different things going on. So that won't start until the first Sunday in February now. But we may stay on that topic a couple of weeks as well, because it's quite an in-depth thing.